Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this conversation, this episode on the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have Yolanda Alvarez with me. Now, Yolanda is a mum, a speaker, an author, an empowered parenting mentor. Yolanda is not your average parenting expert. She's living proof that you can navigate high emotions, high expectations, and a busy family life while raising two incredible daughters and running two businesses. And for all the mums out there or the people that are thinking that of being mums in the future, I think this is going to be really valuable to know that you're just not being busy all the time, but how to sort of have that balance, which is going to be enjoyable conversation. I've got a lot of questions to ask. As the founder of Empowered Parenting and author of Abundant Motherhood, Empowering Mums to Empower Their Kids, Yolanda collaborated with her daughters, Yanika and Jonelle, who co-authored the book, it's very different, to share their unique perspectives. Together, they detailed a profound transformation in their lives as a result of Yolanda's journey towards empowered parenting, offering an intimate glimpse into their experiences growing up alongside her evolution. Wow, that is impressive with your children, your daughters, helping you with your book. So first of all, welcome, Yolanda. I'm so pleased that you could be on here. A little bit of a different topic. That's why I thought would be of interest to my listeners, because so many people are so busy in their business, and we do a lot of mindset interviews and a lot of business things to support business, but that challenge of business and family and other relationships and trying to prioritize everything, because I think from my, you know, reading, understanding, being a parent and grandparent, is that a woman's worth is often considered by how well she parents. I think that's reading stuff with Brené Brown, and
that's the first time I've heard that, but that can be true. I can see how that might be true.
Yeah, whereas men, it comes from being supportive, you know, being financially strong, supportive, being that space, where from Brené, it comes from that women, the biggest thing that can provide shame to them if they don't parent well. Which is quite an amazing. Wow. So this is why this topic is so important. I think just one to hopefully understand how to not, I don't want to say do things well, balance things or do things well, but just create the family.
Navigate priorities.
Yeah. Just having the family is, and figuring out how to prioritize without killing yourself and, you know,
without guilting yourself.
Women thinking they have to be able to be all, do all, and achieve all. It's such a. How old
are women? Are amazing.
And how old were they when they helped you with the book?
So my journey, this journey began when my oldest was 9, and I had this moment. There were many moments, but this one particular moment was, which is why I know that was the turning point for all of our journey, is she came to me one night with some math work, and she said this was due the next morning.
And it was due the next morning.
Due the next morning. And I'll give you some background. So I was on the board, the school board. I was running the new church that we were building. I was on every committee possible because that's what I loved and thrived on. And I didn't realize at the time, but there was a bit of shame that my daughter would go into school, and this is, they know her as Yanika's, the daughter of the mom who's on the school board. And she, so I didn't realize it at the time, but my response to her came with so much of emotion-filled response. Mind you, I did say, all right, let's have a look and see how much you already know. So I kind of assessed whether there was even the possibility that we could submit this in the morning. And this was 9 p.m. at night when it was past her bedtime already. And of course, she had no idea. And at that moment, as they may say, hell broke loose. And the words that came out of my voice, the rage and anger in my body for multiple reasons. This is not the time you bring it to me. Thoughts and even words towards the, I can't remember the exact words, but they were along the lines of, you are dumb, you will never amount to anything.
Yeah.
That's the frame from which those words came out. And it's almost like I watched myself as a child receiving the same from my mom.
Wow.
And from my, I had a glimpse of, and that was one, the impact of my own childhood, and I was giving to her what I absolutely detested in my own childhood.
Mm.
And the other thing that became really aware to me, that what I was projecting to her, the you are not worthy, was really me striving to be worthy, to be seen as worthy, which is why I was involved and so many things.
Mm.
I had this glimpse of, far out, this is me, this is my pain that I am projecting on her. And I almost instantly recognized that my mom had been doing the same.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? And I think a lot of mums listening can identify with that and hear their mother's voice when they're berating their children, or their mother's voice when they're arguing with their husband, or that just it's a real wake-up call, isn't it? And it is part of that. And as someone tells you often enough, you're not going to amount to anything, you're not of worth, then that actually becomes the prescription, I suppose, a word that you live to then. You know, that's it. You demonstrate that's exactly what's going to happen, and you, or else you go the other way and nearly kill yourself, as you said, trying to prove that you are.
Yeah, I was burnt out. Mm. I would go to bed with, and I started to have physical, one morning I couldn't get out of bed. I just went onto the floor on my foes. My back, my lower back had just given way. So this is just all the pressure I put on myself. So that moment became really significant for me.
Mm.
And I asked myself two questions as well, if I may mention that, Janine.
Mm.
Is this the mom that I had wanted to be? Because I had been wanting to have her. It was 5 years that I had tried to have a child, which was a journey on its own. And was this the mom that I had envisioned myself to be? And the other one
was... question. Sorry, I'll just interrupt. That's a powerful question.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I thought it was. It felt that way at that time.
Yeah.
And the next question was, did she have any clue how much I actually loved her and how important she was to me?
Mm.
And the answer to both those questions was no. That was not the mom I had planned to be. I had planned to love my daughter and have memorable moments with her and the joy we would share and the mother I would be. That wasn't playing out.
Mm.
And in all the rage, the amount of episodes of disappointment that I felt in her, she had no clue how much I absolutely adored her.
Wow. Yeah, that's really powerful.
There was no way she could have known. Mm. And I drew the line in the sand at that time and I said, answering those questions is going to be all I prioritize.
Mm.
That I was going to show up as the mom that I had planned I would be. and that she would know how much I loved her.
Wow. Yeah.
At the end of that year, Janine, that's when I knew this was working. At the end of that year, because I had made all these changes, and I'm going to, this is what this podcast is to share with you all those changes. So I'll come to that. But at the end of this of that year, my daughter Yannicka, who was 9 years old in year four, came home with the award of the highest achiever.
Wow. Yeah.
Same child that I thought had learning difficulties, who would not amount to anything. My change in the way I saw her was all she needed, my belief in her, the same way I needed my mum to believe in me.
Isn't that it? That, I mean, if we stop now, that's probably, you know, the biggest takeaway is that power of moment is how other people perceive us represents our capacity to be, to achieve, to have happiness, to whatever it is. It's and the most influencing factors in our lives are our parents.
Yeah. Mother plays a big role.
Yeah.
I do believe that, yes, parents, but there's something about a mother's role. And you'll see that in a lot of people who have amounted to anything. I don't know whether you've heard the story of Einstein being sent home and the school said, do you know Einstein's story and his mother attacked on him?
No.
So he was sent home with a note that he couldn't even read because he was that challenged in school. And the mom, he said, Mom, can you read this note? Because my school has sent this to you and have said I am not welcome back in the school, that I've been expelled. So she reads the note, she hears what the school has written, but when she translates the note to Einstein, she says to him along the lines of, the school has seen how unique you are and how gifted you are, that they cannot tutor you within their framework, so I will be tutoring you from now on.
Wow.
And it was after he had passed away, when he was clear, after she had passed away, many, many, many years, when Einstein had become Einstein, that he opens up her drawer, clears her stuff, and sees the actual letter. And it was nothing but, your son is not worthy of anything. He is not fit for school. We do not take the responsibility of this kind of a child who will not amount to anything. That's what that letter actually said.
Wow. And that, so telling, isn't it? You know, and can you imagine if we didn't have the great mind of Einstein? Because, yeah.
Yes.
Because of that sense of belief, lack of belief in self.
And the belief in the mum in her child.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite.
And that's what became my journey at that point. I wanted to climb every mountain and say to the mums who were trying their best in areas to support their child, and they were focusing on the child, and my message was, focus on you. You become the best version of you. The child only models you. If you're burnt out and you are run down in trying to support your child, you're not giving them, all they hear from you, from that language, is you're not good enough. That's why I need to make you better.
Yeah.
If you bring that back to yourself and become the best version of yourself, your child will only model their mom, they model who you are, and you become the happiest person.
And one of the things that I always challenge people on, Yolanda, is their own self-talk. You know, they'll go, oh, I'm such a fool. I'm such a, you know, they'll continue to put themselves down, that something will go wrong. And I actually don't even like saying what people say to themselves, because I don't want to bring that into my space. But my granddaughter is 8, 9 next week, and she was doing something and she said something along those lines. I'm such a whatever. And I said, would you say that to a friend? And she said, oh, no, that wouldn't be very kind. And I said, so now you need to learn not to say it to yourself because it's not kind to yourself either. And you know, it's because it is. It's the, if you hear it, then you'll believe it. And if you say it to yourself, it's even impacts even more because it becomes part of your ownership. So if, as a mum, you need to shift from that negative speak yourself into the positive speak because that becomes believable within you as well as what you're passing on to your children, right. Doesn't it?
That's right. And that becomes the journey. If you really want to, if you truly want the best for your kids, be courageous to step into being the best version of yourself. And that's the self-talk. And that's the knowing what your goals are, your values are, what are your priorities, and do them and thrive in them. And it's meant to be win-win. In any transaction, we would be looking for both parties winning. So why not in parenting? As you are winning, I was winning too. And I had been, I'm not going to generalize, but I was of the belief that if I put myself first, that was selfish. And I needed to put my kids' needs first. And so I focused on my kids. And that was such a wrong formula that I had taken on.
I've been a huge advocate of the opposite to that my entire parenting life. And I've always believed, and it took away judgment of me by having this belief and removed that, because I've always believed I need to put myself first. Because if I am financially stable, I can help my children with finances, which I have done when they come to me and, you know, they needed resources. If I'm emotionally available, then because I've filled my emotion bucket up, I'm emotionally available to them. If it mentally, strength, confidence, all of those things has always been for me to go, I need to fill me first. And you know, the things that adult children come to you or 19-year-old children come to you and tell you something and you go, okay, how are we going to deal with this? As opposed to, you know, run away screaming type of thing. I love that you're saying it because I rarely see people, women do it and mothers do it, is put themselves first. And one of my things I see all the time is, you know, these mothers and women have never traveled overseas, but they'll bust their guts to ensure that child gets that overseas trip because the school's going or someone's going. Whereas, and they do without themselves. And that's not filling their own bucket.
Yeah, and they're doing it because they believe in that time that that's the best that they can do. They're doing their best in the knowledge they have, which is why it comes back to my mission with my work is to increase that knowledge, to share this new way of, to me, it was very new, putting my needs first, even culturally and societally, that a mother never puts herself first. The mother's meant to have the back foot. She always is the one that walks behind her kids and behind her husband and is always giving. She's the nurturer. She's also the one who's burnt out. She's also the one carrying wounds of not feeling supported enough, not having her needs met because she has this paradigm of constantly wanting to give, and she's doing that from the best of her knowledge. So increasing this knowledge becomes our responsibility because we're always going to do the best given the knowledge we have. So it's our responsibility then, I believe, to increase that knowledge, to question our beliefs, to question what we had been told. And from that curiosity comes abundant motherhood, empowering mums to empower their kids.
Yeah, I love it. That's just such a good space to be in, because then we're raising the next generation of empowered people. And that then is what's going to make a difference. There's not victims. We are responsible for ourselves. We have things happen to us, but they don't have to change, be us. Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
And so you've broken the pattern of your mother's mothering, which is powerful to do as well. So how did you go about? How old are your daughters now? Just as a question.
So today, at that time, my daughters were 9. My oldest was 9, and my youngest was really young, at 4 years old. And today, my oldest is 25, and she'll be 25 this year, and my youngest will be 20 this year.
Lovely. How did they come about assisting you with your book?
Oh, it was, well, they felt the freedom to be themselves. My oldest put herself through select school. I don't know whether you've got that system there where high achievers receive a scholarship. And she was determined. So as I was setting goals for myself, and I had my vision board done, and I knew where I was going, and I was kicking goals, and they saw how that was. They just had their own vision board. They had dreams for themselves. They were manifesting. And they were excited how powerful it was. My oldest wanted a mobile phone, and she paid for her first mobile phone. And all this excitement, the whole journey became an exciting journey to have this whole new, and the connection between us, the bond, the unconditional love. We say, oh, unconditional love is a myth. It's not in my world. And it is possible when we unconditionally love ourselves. First, we become accepting. We watch that self-talk. We question ourselves. We are, and we are in tune with our bodies, and we know where emotions stay and get stored and locked up. So I am a certified emotions coach as well as a certified anxiety coach. So understanding emotions is key for and knowing that we are truly thriving when we can recognize when we are not through the emotional blocks in our bodies. So connecting, being present, connecting to our breath, recognizing when things aren't congruent, not when it's too late, but way before, because the body's giving us signs a lot earlier. So we don't need to be in those situations that are challenging or that turn chaotic, because we picked it up because we are in tune. And that's what I work. That's the work that I do with the mums and the parents that I work with.
Yeah.
They have the power of being intuitive with their kids to know what's happening with them. And you're present in your body. We all being energetic beings, we connect. My clients connect to the energy of their kids. They know way before what's going on. And they're able to respond from the need that's sitting under the tantrum, that's sitting under the banging the doors and the resistance and the frustration that goes on, especially with teens. They can pick it up, and they're responding from the core need that they are intuitively know the child is seeking to be met. How powerful is that to be a good parent from that space?
No, incredibly powerful, just to have that understanding and awareness. And that, and what I'm hearing from that as well is that if, you know, a teenager's doing what teenagers do, then it's not, the person's not reflected on, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad parent, but it's what can I do now to connect with my child? It's a different, so it's not looking back at itself.
What's going on here? Yeah, and they question themselves. Self-awareness is a big part of this journey, where they say, what's coming up for me? Oh, that's my fear. That's me feeling like I'm not a good enough parent. Is that even true? Not. And once we address that, as we feel the stress and the tension building up, we can then meet them where they're at. And then our teens are able to feel heard, because we know if a teen's journey, what's happening within their brains, how they their own challenges, the hormonal imbalances, and this is something that I picked up, that a lot of us women, by the time we are raising teens, they're also going through menopause, so
That's
our hormones are playing out.
Yeah,
Yeah, and if we can be aware of what's going on within ourselves while our teen's hormones are, which is why raising teens has challenges from in all directions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I know that when I was parenting, I wasn't as aware as I am now, but also now being a grandparent, it's a very different role. And I think that's the parenting role that we all want, is to be the grandparent, because there's no judgment in it. It because the judgment's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just to show the kids I love them. So it's a very different space as a grandparent. You're still disciplined and you still, you know, set boundaries, but it's not this judgment.
You're not attached, you're detached. There's a sense of detachment as opposed to when you feel your parent, you're so attached. Like you said, a lot of moms take that as their worthiness if they have raised their child to be, you know, good enough, then that means they've parented in a good enough sort of way.
Definitely.
They're so far from the truth.
Each
child comes with their own personality traits,
So what steps do you use to when you're working with parents? What's the process?
Yeah, so at the start, I do recognize that there can be a lot of this. They hold back, a lot of parents hold back because they see it as a sign of failure, and there's a resistance to be seen as a failure as a parent, which is why I invite them to just reach out and have no obligation, completely free chat where we could just resolve. I will support you wholly. It's not, my intention is that it's not about telling you something, it's about serving you, because the fact that you are paths crossed, like even people listening in to this podcast, there's no coincidence, I don't believe. So as much as they show up, I show up in service. So the first step on this process is reaching out, making that connection and being open and curious to what is possible for me in my relationship with my child. So so that's step one, where you get an idea. It's like you start to put on a new set of glasses and you realize all of this programming that society has. Oh, teenagers are always challenging and they roll their eyes, and that it's completely accepted that your teen is going to be challenging. BS. Do not subscribe to that. It's the best time to be building connection with your child, lifelong connection. Because if you are able to hold space for them at that time when they are the most confused about their very existence, the support and trust that they build in you and in themselves lasts a lifetime. So watch where we subscribe to society's stories about teenagers being difficult, especially that statement. Or teens, or I'm raising teens and I'll see these eyes. Just, you know, oh, you know what that's like, and, you know, everyone knows what. I'll straight up say, no, what is it like? I've raised teens and that has not been my experience. Yes, they have played out, but it was the time where they reached out to me more than any other time, because they had a place, a safe place to come to, where they felt heard, they didn't feel judged, and they were allowed to be their confused selves.
And
they had someone who trusted themselves.
And that's a really, you know, great that, to have that safe space. I think we all need a safe space, whatever that looks like for anybody.
Yeah.
One of the things that I see a lot with parents, more so in this generation than in mine, is that parents want to be liked by their kids, and they fail to set boundaries, and the word no is not part of their vocabulary usually. It's Yeah.
So they're clicking. So great to be liked by your kids, but what path are you taking to be liked by your kids?
Yeah.
I say, how much do you like yourself? Because we can only give what we give ourselves. So the parents' journey becomes making peace with themselves first. So self-love. So when we are seeking for our child to approve us, there is an element of we are not approving ourselves and we need that from our child.
Yes, now that's certainly something for food for thought for the listeners, isn't it? That it's that approval and liking of self. I mean, that is so such a strong thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, the struggle really is when they're seeking approval from their child and when they're not receiving it from them.
Yeah.
They are projecting their own disappointment on with themselves onto their child.
Yeah, and the lifelong ramifications of that, it's for both the parent and child is really significant. And then that sort of leads into the more so that reactive parent, you know, the lack of controlling emotions like you were when your daughter was nine. You know, you haven't done your homework and you're failing in this. How does that look? For me, how does it, you know, that you're coming back to yourself, but not even that, it's just this, if, you know, children do something wrong and that flare up of emotion, I mean, how do you manage that?
So a lot of parents come across saying, will come to me and say, oh, Yolanda, that's really hard to do. I need my child to be fixed now. They are struggling right now. This whole journey of me getting to know myself and self-awareness is too hard. And which is why, if I may share, I have created a 12-week program where I say you shortcut 12 years of work, which is what I believe it took me to really figure all this out.
That's the beauty of coaches. That's absolutely, no matter what it is with coaches, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years. So if I can shortcut your getting to your goals and achieving it makes a lot of sense than trying to persevere and do things yourself. You need to work with people who know those shortcuts. It's so important.
Yeah, they figured it out. They packaged it for you. They've taken you on a journey.
Yeah.
So that process then becomes the 12-week process that I take them on this self-awareness while we are building their own self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I am holding their hands with how to respond to your child, and this is where that's coming from. And to put on this new set of glasses on their on the parent, and it shifts the energy in the home almost instantly. One of the models that I use is the TEAR model, and that gets parents in the mindset to recognize that in every interaction, there is a TEAR happening. And I say, if you don't get this, unless you've mastered it, there's going to be tears, which is what TEAR spells. So,
what does it stand for?
So it stands for recognizing the thought that you are holding in that time.
The thoughts.
So let's say your child is playing out.
Yeah.
Or your child sitting on the couch. Yeah. And your thought is, my child is lazy, unmotivated, will amount to nothing. So you've not even said anything. You've come in the room. You've seen that. Thoughts hold energy. So become aware of the thought, the T. The E, so the moment you have this thought, energy is, emotion is nothing but energy in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So you become aware of the emotion that's coming up within you as you're thinking that thought.
Yeah.
And then observe or reflect back on the action that you took at that time, whereas you might have said, how long are you going to be watching TV? Or I've got dishes that, you know, or the garbage needs to be taken out. And become aware of the action that you took from that thought and that emotion that you're feeling.
Yeah.
And that gives you a result.
Yeah.
And often if you work back the result, it's disconnection.
Yeah.
The child is disconnected from you because they feel, even though you've not said anything too bad, you don't think, you have communicated energetically to your child.
Yeah. I can see that. And that really, one, once you've done work through process and really understand the thoughts, if you can hold it there. Whereas if you are more reactive, then you'll go through that whole process, you'll take action and you won't necessarily reflect. So, you know, going through that process each time would be a good reminder of, okay, that's in, and it becomes that observer. And I often talk about this in the podcast, is an outside observer into the situation.
Yeah. So once you have a process like this in your toolkit, you can never go wrong. You might have been reactive in that moment, and I say kindness and compassion while you're on that 12-week journey with me, nothing but kindness and compassion to yourself first, because you have learned this over and over again. You are now rewiring and shifting your energetic presence in your home.
Yeah.
And it's contagious as well. Once you start to shift that and you start to take new actions from this self-reflection and the self-awareness that these processes allow you, your child inevitably does. Will undoubtedly change.
Yes, definitely. And I imagine, look, everything's overwhelming. As you said, you know, you were on a whole lot of committees. There's the most women are also in the workforce. They're coming home tired. There's a sense of overwhelm. It's a process, and just not to just smash it out to everybody, isn't it? You know, you just... When you, especially if you feel like you're not being supported and you're not getting any help, it's one thing to say it's nice going through this, but again, it comes back to yourself and your belief, how you feel about you. But there's situations where you just go, I'm tired and I'm done.
Yeah, and you'll find that you start to apply this work in all other areas as well. You'll realize that the tiredness that we feel is really from the emotional overwhelm that's stored in the body. I can do so much more now than I did 10 years ago, and I have more energy because the emotional density is no longer living in my body.
No. Yeah, that's a really important factor. People say to me all the time, I don't know how you get everything done that you do. And it's, and look, you know, I put my hand up when I was parenting my sons. It was very reactive into every situation. It's only through learning skills and you know, reading and doing study and working with coaches and all those things over, you know, the last 30 years that has changed the way that I respond. Most of the time, it's still, you know, you jump on things, usually the people that are closest with you more than anyone. But it's certainly has changed a lot. But there is that sense of I'm just overwhelmed, too tired, and not getting support. Whereas now I just have, because I don't hang on to things emotionally either. It's too exhausting. I don't bother. So I often say I'm like a goldfish. I get to the end of the tank and I've forgotten what I was angry about or annoyed or why I'm holding anything in. Yeah, but that's growth.
Some
that's
of the gifts of getting older, I think.
Yeah.
As we get older, we just don't have the capacity to hold on to.
I think that's part of it, but it does release. And I don't have a lot of fears and things either. So it does, but it does release a lot of stuff that you, so you have energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And people in business, like you said, you speak to a lot of women in business. And if they can just step back and just become the observer for how much of their energy they're giving away, focus and energy into being stressed around parenting. And once they have let that go, once they start to make sense of that, they have that much more energy to thrive in their businesses.
Yeah. And that, and the whole thing with what you're doing when you're talking about it being about you, is you're not relying on your partner to be anything in particular. You're not relying on the children to behave a certain way. You're relying on yourself. And that takes a lot of ownership, but it also means that you have a lot of control because it's about you.
Yeah. So I talk about claiming back your power in parenting. That's what empowered parenting is. Claiming back your power. And that's how we claim back our power. That's the path to taking back the power. Because we only have control over ourselves, as we all know.
Yeah. Yes.
And if we can show up and do that work that we have control over, that's so much better energy spent than spent on trying to get the child off the couch or the child off their digital devices.
Yeah, no, definitely.
All of that becomes easier. And your kids want to, like I said, become, your kids become your disciples. And what is a disciplined kid is a child who wants to be your disciple.
Interesting. Interesting way to put it. Yeah. But it is exactly that. It's been very insightful, Yolanda, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to, you know, just even step back and start thinking about it. We always finish with three takeaways. What do you want people to particularly remember?
So I've got three takeaways here as we had put them down before. So I'm going to go with those. And that's be relentless in perceiving the challenges in your close relationships, which are your kids, your partners, your close family, which we have, as you said just before, that we are often triggered by the people that's in our closest space. And be relentless in perceiving those challenges as opportunities to clear our own unconscious blocks for our own personal growth, because that's all we have power over. So that's the first point there. And the second takeaway is that the more we address those unconscious blocks, which are, you know, our own fears and our own beliefs that were passed on to us, the more we can question them, the more we address them, the more aligned we become to our true self, which then allows us to be vulnerable, authentic, which, as we all know, is where the key for creating those strong relationships lies. So the less hard we are on ourselves, the more aligned and the more in tune with ourselves that we become. And that's the best, that's the easiest place to be, because that's where there's nothing holding us back when we're our true self.
Definitely.
So addressing those becomes aware. And the third takeaway is that we're all energy beings, and the more work we do on ourselves, the lighter energetically we become, and we become an energetic match even for the business women in running businesses. Here we become an energetic match to high value clients from that space. So it's never about in marketing, the first thing I do to market is check where my energetic vibration is sitting at, because that's from where I could be consciously marketing from.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's a whole sort of different discussion about the energy you're putting out there and the doing whatever you're doing and what you want to receive. It's incredibly powerful. I do a lot of goal setting planning, but I also do visualizations with it as well. And it just makes such a difference. It's really interesting, you know, after Christmas and doing some overseas travel, that I need to remove a few kilos that have sort of crept on in the last few months. And this, and so I set with that, I set weekly goals because that is better than setting it months ahead. And so I set a very specific amount that I wanted to weigh today, and I got on the scales and I was exactly that amount. But in the 100 grams, exactly that. So it is, and I sort of looked down and went, oh, that's exactly what it was. So it makes a difference when you are putting out what you wanted to receive as to what's the capacity for that energy to come back at you and the results to come back at you. Yeah, phenomenal. That's awesome. How do people get in touch with you, Yolanda?
So I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm happy to share with you some links if parents and other women listening in would like to have a free chat to put on a new set of glasses and just have an opportunity to see what else is possible.
And I've got all of your details. Yeah, I've got all your details in the show notes as well. So they'll be able to find all those contact details. Yeah. But the business name is Empowered Relationships.
My business name is Empowered Relationships. My Facebook group is Empowered Parents Group. So okay. The Empowered Parents Group. And I'm Empowered Parenting Coach on Instagram.
Fantastic. I'm sure people can find you and they'll find you across this. And you've obviously got videos on your YouTube channel that talks about the things we've talked about.
I do. And of late, I'm quite excited is that my daughter has joined me. So she works with teenage kids while I work with the parents.
Fantastic.
So that's something a lot of teens are not a bit hesitant to work with an older person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she comes in and she works with a lot of kids with ADHD and other special needs to become more structured and bring more motivation and routines and setting goals. So, yeah, I've been really excited this year. That's new. So besides co-authoring my book, she now works alongside me. And
fantastic.
We've been seeing such fantastic results together.
That must feel very special. That's lovely.
It does. And it's shorter. We don't even need to get this work done in 12 weeks. We can achieve those results in half the time because we're working dynamically with the parent and the child together.
That's incredible. I just have to bring something up. I was watching a video the other day and there's a lot more coming through. Actually, I was listening to a podcast and talking because I've got a severely autistic grandson, but they were talking about the research they had done and their actual cases, whereas the autistic child was reading their mother's mind. Relationship is that close. The autistic child, although they couldn't speak, they were ones that could type out tablets or something like that or communicate some way, and they were giving responses and answers, which was what the mother was thinking as to the answers.
Brilliant.
That's how close that parenting relationship
brought is. On. Which is why it's so important for us as parents to recognize the energy that we bring into the space of our kids. Say, oh, I didn't say anything, but they were behaving badly or they were very resistant and retaliant, and I say, where were you at? You don't need to say anything or do anything. The younger our kids are, and especially an autistic child, they are sensory
awareness.
I'm getting the word, but awareness is more in tune energetically. Mm. So if the mum can master, any mum can master their energetic presence and where they are at emotionally, you don't need to say or do anything.
Mm. No, it was very powerful. Thank you so much for your time and expertise today. I really enjoyed the conversation. I think it's so insightful and so incredibly valuable because as mums, we're responsible for the next generation.
Oh, absolute pleasure. I'm so grateful that for the opportunity to share my work and share the service that I offer. Very, very grateful. Thank you for reaching out, Janine.
Thanks, Yolanda. And that's another conversation, another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember that you can reach out to Yolanda through any of the contacts on the show notes. And also, if you are struggling with anything in your life and business, to book a strategy call at JanineVosper.com. And as I say every time, if I can't assist you, I have got plenty of people that I can recommend who'll be the best person to be able to help you achieve the results that you want in life and in business. Have a fantastic day. I look forward to you joining me next time on the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business?
Oh, very good.
Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.